You are listening to 91.5 FM. WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. We hope that you are planning on having a wonderful Thursday. Pray that you get your day started off right. Enjoy the presence of the Lord and seek His face. Ask Him to direct your path. And with that mindset in place, it's going to be a great and glorious day filled with kingdom advancement for Brevard County, Florida. So I want to say thank you today to the folks of Jets Concrete. Their phone number is 321-536-5804. They've got decades and decades of experience in all things concrete. They bring the three E's to any construction job that you might be looking for that involves concrete. They bring the expertise, they bring the experience, and they bring the great work ethic that puts all of the elements together, whether it's knowing what type of materials to use, where to get those materials, scheduling, all of that sort of stuff, prepping the job site, doing the pour, doing the finishing, doing the cleanup. Jets Concrete has been in Brevard County for a long, long time, and they have done a fantastic job for every project I've hired them for at my house, as well as every project we've hired them for at Merritt Assembly of God. 321-536-5804. If you've got a project that you'd like to see take shape in 2026, you may consider them a resource that will help that project get off on the right foundation. So today we're going to return to Luke chapter 15. And I'm going to begin reading at verse number 22, and I will read down to the end of the chapter today, okay? But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant, and he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he, the older son, was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So the good news about the youngest son's journey is that sin does not have to get the last word. Misery does not have to be your permanent condition. In fact, it describes that what the father mandated was for everyone to celebrate and to be merry. Merry was a word, it's the Greek word there is the word from which we get euphoria. It means to be glad or to celebrate. It's a response to what God has done in the world. I often think that we project the wrong expectation of what heaven is going to be like. And, you know, it is going to be holy. Heaven is going to be focused on Jesus, period, end of sentence. I mean, it's everything revolves around the throne. Streets of gold, seas of glass, mansions galore. All of that is fantastic. But I believe that when many people think or begin to express their expectations, they think it's going to be a very solemn place. It's going to be a very serious place. And it will be holy. It will be a place of praise and worship, but it will also be a place of celebration. And the celebration is going to be the fact that Jesus saved us. Right now, he is in the process of saving us, and ultimately, we are going to be saved in the presence of Jesus for all of eternity. It is a reconciliation that has been made possible because of the blood of Jesus. It is a celebration of resurrection, because in describing this son, he said, "My son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but now he is found." And so, well, while the world here is, to a large extent, is focused on enjoyment and entertainment and this wonderful experience and that wonderful experience, that's not the same type of euphoria that we're talking about in heaven. Heaven is celebrating the goodness of God, the greatness of God, the actions of God, and the fact that he has planned and prepared for us the best life possible and has redeemed us, and we get to celebrate because of all of the actions. I believe if you actually looked at the dictionary definition, there are many people in America who worship pleasure more than they worship the Creator. However, when we have our relationship with God right, we have abundant life, we have life to the full, and we have joy that the world cannot substitute. This word for Mary is M-E-R-R-Y, not M-A-R-Y or M-A-R-R-Y. It means that God is the source of holy euphoria, or the source of rejoicing for humans. It's the overflow from experiencing God's presence and the benefit of his saving acts. Those are definitions from the lexicon. It means that, you know, to quote the old children's church song, "Joy is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart, for the king is in residence there." It means whenever Jesus is living inside of us, that we get to celebrate and he gets to celebrate. I believe that heaven is going to be the party of all parties, the celebration of all celebrations. It is going to be glorious. It's you don't want to miss it for the world. You don't want to miss it for the world. And the truth of the matter is, all of us to some extent can identify with the younger son where we have missed the mark. Sometimes we've gone off seeking our own path, and God in his great mercy, by God the Holy Spirit, has sought us out, brought an understanding of repentance to us, and we cry out to Jesus, who forgives us our sins and reconciles us to the Father. What a celebration. When my mother was still alive, she always wanted to celebrate whenever my family and myself, or sometimes it was just me, when I was in retail, you didn't earn your PTO time, you know, a little bit at a time. You got 2 weeks after you'd been there for a year, and that was pretty much it. So we didn't have a lot of travel time, and because we lived so far away from my family and so far away from my wife's family, many times we'd tag team on our vacations, and not because we were a divided household. We were just trying to make the most of the opportunities, and we wanted our kids to have relationship with our grandparents. And so my mother always wanted to make it a big celebration. And she said, what do you want to eat? And I would go nostalgic with foods that I had grown up in eating. And my mother made fantastic fried chicken. I visited what was rated the number one chicken and waffles restaurant in America. That's a strange combination to me. I mean, I can wrap my head around it a little bit, but it's a strange. But it rated the number one chicken and waffles restaurant in the country, and I ate there. There were tour buses that were there. I mean, it was waiting lines and things of that nature. And when I got done eating, I walked out and I called my mother and I said, "Mother, when the owner of that restaurant goes to bed tonight, he should throw up his hands and praise the Lord that his restaurant isn't right next to your house, because your fried chicken is way better than his fried chicken." And so my mother would cook fried chicken. And one trip, we had driven lots and lots of hours. We get to the house and we're staying with my parents, and there are 32 people. There were 32 people in my parents' very small 1,100 square feet house, and that included the garage. It was probably only 800 or 900 square feet that they lived in, and there were 32 people in there because they wanted to celebrate me coming. They also wanted to celebrate my mother's fried chicken. But it was a great celebration. Here, the Father is created an atmosphere, and if you will, has commanded joy and gladness to be the temperament of the celebration, because the Son was dead and now he's alive. He's alive again, and he was lost and now he's found. And how many of us can say, "I can identify with that"? And so let me show you something here. "Let us eat and be merry." And verse number 24 concludes, "And they began to be merry." That was what the Father commanded, and that's what they began to do. And so I want to encourage you not to run from your emotions, but to run to the emotions that God wants us to experience in our life. He wants you and I filled with peace and filled with joy and filled with hope. He doesn't want us to be bound by fear. He doesn't want us to be anxious. He doesn't want us panicking. He wants us celebrating. And so I hope that you can find a reason today. Let me read these things from the lexicon again. It's from where we get euphoria. So this is not a timid celebration. It means be glad or celebrate, to rejoice what God has done. So don't forget the things that God has done for you. Okay? Remember, he's the source of the joy. So the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It is the overflow from experiencing God's presence. Why do you think that the enemy tries so hard to keep the saints from experiencing the presence of God? It's because whenever we experience the presence of God, we're going to come out of that encounter transformed. We're going to come out filled with joy. We're going to come out filled with hope and renewed expectation. It comes from the presence of God, and it comes from his saving acts. I saw an article here a few weeks ago, and it triggered a memory in me that I don't forget. It's just a fresh reminder that there was a father and a son, and they were both struggling in a rip current. I believe this was out in California. And there was a stranger, didn't know either one of them, but saw they were in distress, and he swam out and rescued them because he knew what you were supposed to do. And by the way, if you're just visiting Brevard County and you happen to get caught into a rip current, you want to swim parallel to the shore, not try to swim right back into the shore. You want to swim the north and south, not from east to west. That helps. This guy went out there, and he rescued this father and son. And the reason that resonates with me is because when I was a kid, I was invited to go to a community pool, went to the community pool, and the person who invited me ended up having to come and save me because I was out of my depth and was beginning to panic. And so I want to encourage you, take some time every once in a while and remember where God has brought you from. See, I believe the key to evangelism is remembering that we were once the ones in the pig pen. And we shouldn't get our nose all up in the air and saying, well, I'm not going into the pig pen. Those people get what they deserve. That's not the heart of the Father. Okay? And so, celebrate what God has done. And the greatest celebration of all should be when the lost become found. That brings us to verse number 25, because the younger son was one of two sons. That means that the other son is the older son. And if you remember when we first began to navigate Luke chapter 15, I became very transparent with you. This is the one that I have to guard against. For me, it's not so much the temptation to leave home, but the older son was the person who stayed, who served, but it was he was missing key elements in it. He was dutiful, but he also has problems with his relationship with the father, And that's what we're going to address over these next 8 verses. Now, his older son was in the field. So let's just talk about that for just a minute. That's exactly where he was supposed to be. That's where the crops were grown. And Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into the harvest field. Many times people discuss whether they want to be Mary or Martha. I can tell you that the body of Christ needs both. But we need Marthas who can worship like Mary, and we need Marys who can serve like Marthas. That's what we need. The older son was out in the field. The Lord of the harvest doesn't want the crops to go to waste. And there's an old song. I can't remember all of the words to it right now. But lines in this old Christian song said, everyone wants to sit around my table, but my fields are empty. Who will go and work for me today? So even though there is cause to celebrate, there is also work that needs to be done. And the Apostle Paul did not fear serving. He said, I count it a privilege. I count it a joy. I count it to be an act where God has deemed me faithful to entrust me with something. You know, I've had employees when I was working in retail, and there were some employees that were tremendous. I could give them responsibilities. I knew that it would get done. And then there were other employees, and I managed stores in a couple of different states. There were employees that I knew that if I told them to stand there and hold the carpet down in case gravity failed, that they weren't gonna do it. They'd go do something else. And I want you to know that ministry is a privilege, and ministry is not exclusively for the pastor or the worship leader or the Sunday school teacher or the board member. It is the pastor who is called to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So don't be afraid if you get asked to do something. Say, thank God. Thank God that we get to participate. There are not supposed to be bench warmers in the body of Christ. What I mean by that is when I played football in 9th grade, I got to practice like everybody else got to practice. I got to get hit like everybody else got to hit. I got to tackle some, but I got to play very little. And, you know, when the next year rolled around, the coach from the high school, because in those days, 9th grade was part of middle school, even though it counted on your high school transcript, the coach from the high school said, do you want to come and play football this year? And it's like, you know, I think I've sat on the bench all I care to sit on the bench. And the truth of the matter is, I probably would have been able to, I mean, I couldn't have hurt the team. Our team wasn't good that year or the next couple. But I may have grown into some of those areas, because when the senior year rolled around, the guy on that was the star athlete on our team was the same size I was. So might have been able to do something there, but the thing about the body of Christ is that there's no B team. There's no bench warmers. If you're a believer, you're part of God's plan of redemption. You're a starter. And if you watch team sports, when every player on the team does their assigned task and they do it to the best of their ability, then the objectives are accomplished and you get to win. So the older son, he never left home. He went out in the field and he did his job. Thank God for people who show up and do their job. There was a preaching video that I watched here a few weeks ago, and it talked about faithfulness and how the definition of faithfulness in the body of Christ has been diluted. And, you know, there's a verse that every time I think about it, it says, to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. And I don't want to be a diluted version of faithfulness. I want to be full strength, because when I'm living a life of faithfulness, it's because my Creator, my Savior, my Lord, my Healer, He is making faithfulness available, and we will see Him as faithful in good times and see Him faithful in bad times. So, if you're working, don't grow weary. Do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And so I want to encourage you, serve, but serve with the heart of the Father, the Father's heart. If we do the right thing, but we do it with the wrong heart or with the wrong motivation, we're not going to see the results that we want to see. So from the rest of chapter 15 here, we're going to see the older son, who also has some struggles with the father. The younger son loved possessions more than he loved the father. The older son had his duties, had his responsibilities, but he didn't have the father's heart either. We want to make sure we don't duplicate that. God bless you. You have a fantastic day. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.